Freda Carroll had been on the moon for only a few weeks. And now that the novelty had worn off, she wished she were back on Earth. In the first place, she couldn't become accustomed to the 1/6 gravity. Some visitors never did grow used to it. They either hopped like kangaroos, occasionally hitting the ceiling and making little forward progress, or shuffled cautiously along, pausing between each step before they took the next. No wonder that the locals called them earthworms. As a geology student, Freda also found the moon a disappointment. Oh, it had geology, well, selenology, enough to occupy anyone for 100 lifetimes. But the interesting bits of the moon were hard to get at. You couldn't go wandering round with hammer and pocket mass spectrometer as you did on Earth, but had to put on space suits, which Freda hated, or sit in a rover and control remotes, which was almost as bad. She had hoped that the endless tunnels and underground facilities of Aritech would provide cross-sections of the moon's upper 100 meters, but no such luck. The high-powered lasers that had done the excavating had fused rock and regolith to give a featureless, mirror-smooth finish. No wonder it was easy to get lost in the dull uniformity of tunnels and corridors. Myriads of signs like, "No admission under any circumstances. Robots class 2 only. Closed for repairs. Caution, bad air, use respirator," did not encourage the sort of exploration that Freda enjoyed on Earth. She was lost, as usual, when she pushed open a door which promised access to main sub-basement number 3 and launched herself cautiously through it, but not cautiously enough. Almost at once, she was hit by a large, rapidly moving object and sent spinning to one side of the wide corridor she had just entered. For a moment, she was completely disoriented, and it was several seconds before she picked herself up and checked for injuries. Nothing seemed broken, but she suspected that there would very soon be a painful bruise on her left side. Then, more angry than alarmed, she looked around for the projectile that had caused the damage. An entity that might have escaped from an ancient comic strip was coming slowly toward her. It was obviously human, and encased in a glittering silver suit as closely fitting as a ballet dancer's leotard. The wearer's head was concealed in a bubble that looked disproportionately large. Freda could see only her own distorted figure in its mirror surface. She waited for an explanation or apology, but on second thought, perhaps she should have been a little more careful. As the figure approached her, holding out its arms in a supplicating manner, she heard a muffled and barely intelligible male voice say, "I'm very sorry, hope you weren't hurt. I thought no one ever came here." Freda tried to see into the helmet, but it completely concealed the wearer's face. "I'm all right, I think." The voice from the spacesuit, for what else could it be, though she had never seen one remotely like it, sounded rather attractive as well as contrite, and her annoyance quickly evaporated. "I hope I've not injured you or damaged your equipment." Now Mr. X was so close that his suit was almost touching her, and Freda could tell that he was studying her intently. It seemed unfair that he could see her while she had no idea what he looked like. She suddenly realized that she very much wished to know.